cooperation of the New South Wales Government.
The award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and Catherine Devaney.
Yes, Catherine Devaney's here. You're some sort of TV critic, aren't you, Kath?
I'm not. I'm a mother of three from Coburg with nets, if you must know, Tone.
I'm hoping you've brought in a lot of free stuff for us.
I have. Well, I woke up this morning and two of my kids were watching. We're playing PlayStation with Australia's Funniest Home Video, Trucker Hats on, and the three-year-old was sitting on the ground in the nude eating Weet-Bix out of a saucepan.
Oh, look, that's pretty much how we start every episode. And we'll be finding out how Ed Cavalier's quest to get on to the funniest home videos. We've got an update on that.
Yeah.
We're also going to find out what happens when you push a giant ball of rubber bands out of a plane.
Finally.
Because that was, I think, really what 50 years of TV have been leading to.
Absolutely. Right. It's raining pigeons in Texas.
We should talk that up. We should talk that right up. And, of course, a fair go. Everyone wants a fair go. How do you get one? What does it look like? That's what we'll attempt to find out on Get This today. It's going to be a great performance.
That is a gold medal performance. It is a gold medal performance to deliver such a complex event, a world standard event.
Sure.
Effectively to a standard which hasn't been seen before. That's and to do it under budget.
That's what we're going to do. Well, that'd be the sounds of then, courtesy Ganga Jang. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another week of Get This. Myself, Tony Martin. That man is Ed Cavalier.
Morning.
He's got some fancy new thing. We are the world sock on his microphone. That's going to improve things.
I've got a face shield in my microphone.
Richard Marsden's microphone is nude.
I am pop shieldless.
As is he. And what about a big fat fake round for Kath Devaney?
Yeah.
Welcome aboard, Kath.
Thanks, goes with my big fat fake rack.
Oh, okay. Racked up.
Yeah, sure I am.
Fantastic.
He's usually got the biggest rack in this studio. Hey, do you write for Rove as well?
I do.
And so you work with Mr. Marsden over there?
Yes, we are two of his bitches.
And can you confirm that our sort of talking Richard up on the show has resulted in him sort of moving down the ladder a tad down there at Rove? Is that right?
Well, he's a good house in a bad street. I'm not sure about that at all. I'll have to ask Rove, but he's a tiny, tiny man who lives inside one of those Kinder Surprise eggs.
Really?
So after we put him together this morning, just before monologue time, I'll talk to him about that. What's the deal, Richard?
How do you mean?
Well, you know,
I'm being blacklisted from appearing on any Rove sketches. Is that what you're?
Yeah, I'm suggesting that's happening because we've been talking you up too much.
No, that's just because he's crap. That's just because because he can't act.
Obviously, you've not heard his Scottish accent. He can pull a sound effect out of his ass, though. Have you got that tab going?
No,
you haven't got that one.
Got to do it, Rich. If you ain't got it, Rich, you got to do it.
Can you do a running water? Can you do that?
Rich. No. Come on, Rick.
While he's trying to find that, Mr. Cavalier here has been representing me out in public. Well, not me, but the show.
Sure.
Sometimes he takes Josh Lawson along with him in a pair of glasses.
Oh, of course he does.
Yeah. Nighttime Tony Martin.
People are meant to think that's me.
Mm.
Listen to this in the paper over the weekend. Australia's most eligible bachelor, Mr. X, that's the bloke that won that Clio thing.
Yes.
Should have no shortage of female admirers, wouldn't you think?
He's got
none at all.
He's not short of female admirers.
But instead of courting flirty fillies, say the papers, the newly crowned most desirable bloke in town got out and about with his mates rather than enjoying entrees atop haunts for singles. X and his Oz stereo colleague, Ed Cavalier, was seen butchering classics on the karaoke stage at the Sen Bar in Exhibition Street, Melbourne.
It doesn't say butchering classics.
It does say butchering classics. Could you pass that over to him?
Butchering
classics. Yes, I write for the newspaper that certainly says butchering classics.
Tone's crossed out his name and written X just to remind himself.
Yeah, and of course I have.
I wasn't butchering a classic. We were doing perfect. He did Lou Reed's Perfect Day.
Right.
Mr. X on vocals and me on air keys. And air drums and air guitar.
And the ladies just leaping into the boat?
Not really. Quite an empty boat, no persons of interest on it.
No, but it was a very Australian take, you know, because, blokes.
Yeah, sure.
You know, sure, you get the Sheilas any old days, but
that's
go,
right.
You know, with your blokes, have a few drinks, you know.
Actually, that's
bit of a perv.
Well, we were saying it because I saw Mr. X the next day, and he's just been crowned, you know, hottest dude in Australia.
Mm.
And we spent the afternoon wandering the streets looking for a bike pump.
Is he going to do a centrefold? Is he going to do a bit of a,
The option.
A Jack Thompson? Get it all out for the ladies?
Back in the 1970s.
Thank you, Tony.
Unfortunately, hairy men felt the need to go tackle out the ladies'
Jack
bags.
Thompson.
Yeah, Jack Thompson.
Hairy
Which
men
magazine?
With yeah.
TV
Clio.
Guy.
Clio.
What? Clio used to have... Like,
Clio, yeah. You had to have a moustache, and it had to go down the whole of your chest.
Send in. If anyone's got these pictures, email in.
So will Mr. X, the comedy geek... That's what he's been dubbed in the paper.
Really?
That's the kind of girls go for, you know, comedy geeks over, you know, stud muffins. That's
never worked for me.
It's a bit of a backhanded compliment, really. But he, yeah, that's what he was considered, to be a bit of a comedy geek, and it was a bit of a turn up for the books that the ladies went for the funny guy. But I'm not surprised, because I read something in the paper saying that women can forgive almost anything if a bloke is funny. Is that true, Tone?
Well, no, not in my experience.
No, Tone,
but I'm using bad material. You know, you've got to choose the material right.
Hey, but Tone, I've never asked you, actually.
Yeah.
I know you're married now.
That's true.
But did you ever have,
damn,
like, when you were... Yeah, I know.
When I
know.
I was younger, did I put it about?
Yeah.
Not really.
Oh,
well, there were no takers.
Really?
Well, you see, I'm from an era when comedians were really quite unattractive.
Yes, they had to be unattractive, badly dressed, and have a horrible case of halitosis.
Nowadays,
or they just weren't funny.
They're very cute nowadays.
Yeah.
You get the feeling that Will Anderson spends hours choosing just the right pair of cargo pants.
Yeah, right.
And then, oh, better do some material as well. You know, you get the feeling that's how it works now.
Yeah, right.
They're all cute and cuddly.
And so are the women. Did you read in the paper on the weekend?
They're hot!
Did you see that the women are, like, they're saying that the women are a bit too hot for radios? You're kind of your Fifi Boxers,
really?
Et al. You're, what's that, the other one who's on with Matt? You know, the one with the mullet.
No. So they're too
you
hot
know her. And
Fifi.
They're saying that radio is choosing ugly men and attractive women, which explains why Tony and I are sitting next door to each other today.
Wait a second.
Yes.
I'm not sure. I don't think there's any screening process. I mean, if there's no screening process on that music jury, I don't think.
That thing.
And
that
clearly. Because ZZ Top fans are getting through.
You can walk in dressed as a pirate, you know. And I'll just say, yeah, neuromantics this way. Hey, look at this. I can't be an unattractive man on radio because I've worked out I look like Stuart Diver.
Do you, Justin?
Oh, you do too.
Not Craig McLaughlin.
You do look at that.
Wandering shirtless through the snowfields.
I couldn't work out how they got Craig McLaughlin's shirt off. At the snow.
In the first 4 minutes
in
of the
first scene. He's wandering about shirtless.
I can't believe you watched it.
But look at that, Tone.
There you do.
Yeah.
Have a look at that.
Up on the website. Because, Tone, I'm going to invent, when I say I, the IT people will, on our behalf, a lookalikes bit on the website. Because I can't get enough.
So, basically, if you got yourself, if you got Stuart Diver, Robert Mills, and the GE Money Genie, and put them into that machine from The Fly... That would be you.
Right here.
That'd be you.
Yeah.
What do you get, are you, I mean, apart from Warwick Fairfax, do you get, who else do you look like?
I get the you must have been listening to this show.
Right,
the Computers for Dummies guy, I get that. James Valentine I'm often mistaken for.
And then I
start talking about films and they go, he knows about films, that's clearly not James Valentine.
I've got a new one. If Rich wore glasses, the Dick Smith, drawing that they
okay.
Rich had a pair of glasses on. He'd look just like Dick Smith.
Dick Smith.
Yeah. All right.
In the logo or for real?
No, in the logo.
Because my head.
He's much better
is
looking than you, for real.
Are we all look alike, Dad?
No. Oh yeah.
I think we've got to get to the important issues. If you got that sound effect there, just hit it. Sorry, I just do this to irritate our Queensland listeners. The sound of water being wasted. Drives them nuts. People are probably switching over. This has probably already been wrenched off air, I'm assuming, on Triple M Brisbane. But, of course, it is a big deal, water. And if you've seen what's going on in, well, it's sort of up where Matt Dow's from, man who makes our sketches, from Gympie. He's a Gympie man from way back, Matt Dow.
Gympie, proud seatbelt-wearing community. When you go into Gympie... Oh, no, that's not true.
Reckless.
I drove once from Mackay down to Melbourne with a 30-kilo dog and an 80-kilo Italian man. And as we went through each... We loved the bumper stickers, you know, that said, you know, you've just passed another Bundy drinker. But we loved what they had as you went into towns. And I remember that Albury was proud seatbelt-wearing community, but Gympie was actually... Welcome to Gympie, free regulated parking.
Well.
Free.
Mate, never left.
Free. Did you? Free regulated parking. So that's why it's booming there.
There will be no regulated parking when everyone's underwater, though, because they've got the mega dam coming. I don't know if Gympie itself is going to be underwater.
The mega dam
will be flooding about 500 properties in order to, you know, save water for certain parts of the state. People aren't very happy. Now, you've heard the kind of protests that they have down south. The bloke with his yellow-bellied snake at the barbecue, yeah, we often play that clip.
He's not happy.
You'll throw a protest in, say, downtown Melbourne, downtown Sydney, and it just goes off, even in downtown Brisbane. Furious. People shouting from all corners.
Yeah.
Have a listen to what an angry protest sounds like in Gympie.
We have an enemy who uses the media to send out propaganda that would make you think that the war is already lost. We have a battle that we have to win, and we will win. We have an enemy who uses the media...
A single horse voicing their anger.
Was that a sound effect?
Was that
Dinkum?
That was on the news last night.
Your pants are on fire, for Richard Marsland. They sure
for once,
are.
We did not fake that up.
Is that true?
I swear to you.
But free regulated parking. That's why the horse is there.
Assistant Mayor Seattle Slough giving his opinion there.
Not just the horse. The locals are getting pretty stroppy too.
I have installed a punching bag on my veranda with Mr. Beattie's name on it. And when I'm feeling just too much, I have a good punching match on.
His name? You can draw his face. At least draw his face on it.
This looks like
he's write his name.
Yeah. Looks like he brought out a range of punching bags now.
Her husband's thrilled because at least his face is off the bloody punching bag.
Right. That pause too, I think there's something else going on because she goes, "Wait, I've just had too much."
Too much what? Have a punching match.
Too much free regulated parking, I reckon.
Look, let's get this program started and then we've got to visit that fed, you know, because I don't want to, you know, put Queensland down.
No.
Because the Gold Coast...
I do. I'll hop right in. Nah. I really will. No, I'll hop in.
Not while the Gold Coast plays home to the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum.
Place.
We've got a bit of Ripley's action coming up next. That'll be Snow Patrol. This is Get This Around the Nation. Catherine Devaney is with us. She's a bit of a writer.
Yes, I am. With my fancy words and my fancy pen, I do a little bit of writing in a big newspaper with the big pages and the big words.
And do you get into, like, TV shows?
I have to kind of be fair. I'm like a parent. I have to pretend that I love them all, but I don't. So I do, I do a bit of writing. I talked about Doctor who I'm not sure is a real doctor because I've never seen him drive a BMW
doctor.
But next week, tune in and watch me get the boot into The Apprentice. And I knew that I was writing about The Apprentice when I was in the thesaurus trying to find another word for corporate maggot. Unfortunately, nothing came up, but there was a few faces of people like Alan Bond and Laurie Connell.
Do they need a new series? Yeah, I mean, hasn't it all been done, The Apprentice?
How many jobs is he giving away, this Trump fellow?
He's doing one, but I would like to see an Australian version, which basically, you know, The Apprentice ends up getting boned by Eddie McGuire or forming a naked human pyramid. But
what
that's just
me. What is going
about
on at Nine?
What?
With Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That is a funny... Look, that is shame.
We get a lot of letters about that show.
I bet you do.
A lot of emails.
I love it.
They started running it again recently.
At 11 o'clock at night. And then it went to 1 or something.
On Sunday nights, and they just ran 5 eps and pulled it off. What, wasn't rating high enough for a show at 11:30 on Sunday night with zero promotion? What's the deal there?
Look, I'd love to be able to tell you, but it's just a case of, you know, incredibly silly... people who just underestimate the intelligence of the viewers. Well, maybe they don't. But, I mean, we, of course, just get the DVDs and gorge ourselves as soon as they come out.
The last episode they showed before they took it off was hysterical. It was Richard Lewis needed a new kidney.
Richard Lewis.
And his friend, and Larry, who's meant to be his friend and Larry's manager, both were compatible. And so, you know, who's going to give the kidney? And they agreed they wouldn't campaign against the other one. And so Larry's going around and going, well, I don't want to campaign, but I mean, you know, I'm a lot older than him. He's a fat guy. That's a big kidney. You could take up drinking again with that kidney. Hysterical.
Oh,
well, let's take that off and have more Chrismania.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
I know. Look, I'm just... if it's going to be on in the same time slot as Mass for You at Home, that's when I realise that they've gone rock bottom and we're going to have to go down, burn down the place, eat their dog, and that's it. You know, I'm sorry. There's always one that spoils it for the rest of you, and I think it's you, Channel 9. Naughty, well, naughty, naughty. Shame
more
on you.
And more people are going over to the Foxtel and the pay TV.
Yeah.
And I can see why when you've got on Fox 8, the Ripley's Believe It or Not
show. Oh, of course. Yeah.
See much of that?
Yeah.
Oh, man, do they give sizzle?
Yeah, no.
Really? There's more sizzle than show.
They give good sizzle. They sure do.
It's a 3/4 of an hour worth of telling you what's coming up in the remaining quarter of an hour of the show.
Fantastic.
Here's what they were giving sizzle to on the weekend.
The Ripley's Road Trip reaches ground zero to unleash the unbelievable event you've been waiting for. 6 million rubber bands woven into a 2,600-pound sphere. What will happen when the world's biggest rubber band ball streaks to Earth from over 6,000 feet high?
Here it comes!
Years in the making, never orchestrated anywhere. Join Kelly Packard at the point of impact to witness the fall of the giant ball.
Wow. 6 years in the making, a bloke has knitted together 6 million rubber bands.
Okay, hang on a second.
Into a ball.
6 million. Now, if that man is listening, can I just say to you, from all of us here, feel free to get a life at any stage, a very large one.
No, he's made it.
Yeah.
But wait a second. I can understand if you're wrapping a rubber band around itself.
Yeah.
But when it's like the size of a person,
he's knitting them into kind of bits of rope and see making larger rubber bands and just winding it round and round.
Okay.
And,
very,
you know...
Is it very spherical?
It's perfectly spherical.
Perfectly spherical.
And in case you don't... Because, I mean, I'm sure you understood from that sizzle what was going on there.
Yeah, he's been chucked out of a plane.
But then Dean Cain used to be Superman.
Oh, is he on Ripley's these days?
He hosts it in a sort of...
He's done well.
In an antique shop... lit by Russell Mulcahy. That's where he's hosting.
It must be my birthday. Really, what a thrill.
Here's what he's got to say.
Tonight you will witness a world-exclusive event. Something so big and so unbelievable, it will likely never be attempted again. This is the world's largest rubber band ball.
Yeah, we know.
Imagine what would happen if it were dropped from an airplane more than a mile high.
Mm-hmm.
Will it bounce? We will find out tonight when the ball is pushed from an airplane over the Mojave Desert in Arizona.
Do you get the idea?
I do, but I cannot help asking this question. How big is this the world's second biggest rubber band ball?
Well, that's
I'm fairly sure there's a pretty good drop-off.
Because he's broken the record at some point. But are people really across what's going to happen?
No.
Let's just have some more sizzle.
I'm standing in the heart of the Mojave Desert at the Kingman Airport in Kingman, Arizona. Tonight, we're going to drop the world's largest rubber band ball from an airplane more than a mile high.
We know.
6,000 feet in the air.
That's right.
Where will it hit and what will happen to this massive ball of rubber bands, more than 6 million of them, once it slams into the earth? The truth is, this has never been done before, and no one, not even the physics experts we've consulted, can tell us exactly what will happen.
Physics experts?
Physics experts.
Hello, physics experts.
Yep.
What will happen when we push a rubber band ball out of a plane?
Stop calling. We've got physics to do.
Let's meet the creator of the ball.
I want you to meet the man who created this enormous ball. This is Tony Evans. One obvious question. Why did you do this?
We just started building the rubber bands, and then we had a purpose of doing it for special needs children, and we just took it from there.
Well, that's great. Well, now we know why he did it. Let's take a look at how he did it.
Now we know why he did it. No, we don't.
Well, hang on a second.
He didn't say it all. He just went, I found a purpose. I've got a purpose. I've discovered me purpose.
Well, Ringo Starr had to do something after the Beatles. Definitely him.
What does his wife think?
When he first started making the rubber ball, I thought he was a bit mad.
And now, you see, he's totally sane.
He's a visionary.
But is he confident?
He's a genius.
Is he confident?
Now, do you have any reservations at all in doing this? Because I understand you put a lot of hard work into this. 6 years.
It's my baby, but I got confidence that it's going to bounce.
Oh, so you think it's going to bounce?
I really do. I go against all the experts and I say it is going to bounce.
Oh, I love it. All right, Dean, this is the ultimate fantasy, and we're going to see it firsthand when we drop this 2,600-pound ball from an airplane 6,000 feet in the air.
When are you going to do it?
Wait.
Stop telling us you're going to do it.
Just do it.
It's going to bounce. They've consulted experts.
Okay. You want it to bounce.
And forget the physics experts.
Idiots.
Because Ripley's never showed us any physics experts.
No. That's not his business.
No.
It's not Ripley's go.
Because when you want to know whether something will bounce,
yeah.
Who do you ask? Hot chicks in bikinis.
Oh, it's going to bounce. It's got to.
Whoa.
It's got to bounce, right? It's rubber band ball.
But I think it'll bounce a little. I think anything that falls out of airplane bounces.
What?
Hot chicks say it'll bounce.
Wait a sec. Didn't she say anything that falls out of a plane bounces?
<That's right. laughs>
Not a 10-litre block of frozen urine, I don't think. And I know because I've been hit in the head with one.
Far out.
Anything that the physics experts say,
hot
not
physics
sure.
experts.
In bikinis.
But, hey, we're almost there.
So what will happen when we drop the 2,600-pound rubber
Tell
band
me,
ball?
Show me,
it's
show
almost
me.
Time to find out. I see the plane. Let's all get into the Jeep. It's time for the drop.
All right.
The moment we've all been waiting for is finally here.
It's getting dark outside. Just drop that ball.
Watching as it falls at more than 400 miles an hour
here
towards the ground.
Here it goes.
Oh, that thing's dropping fast.
It's falling.
Oh. Here it comes, you guys.
Here it comes.
Right there, guys. Coming down fast.
Here
it goes.
Oh,
it plumps!
What
happened?
It's just nothing happened. Nothing at all happened.
What did you
6 years of the way, you just hit the ground, a little bit of dust went up, and there's rubber bands everywhere. It didn't bounce, it just disintegrated instantly on impact. The physics experts were wrong. The hot chicks were wrong.
How dare
you? The man with no life was wrong.
Dean Cain was wrong.
Oh, no.
The bloke's wife was wrong.
Oh. No one said it's just going to be crap.
Nothing happened.
What it was.
Nothing happened at all.
You know what the problem was?
It was a tiny, but the whole thing was a problem.
No, two problems. Not enough sizzle for it. Not enough forward promoting. And I don't think the ball was big enough. He needs to get back out there. And make it bigger.
Ed, how big's your ball that you've been working on for the last 12 years?
Well, it's not quite 26,000 million feet high. Well, I don't even remember the physics. I have to call the physics experts.
You show them, Ed, with yours.
Really?
Yeah, you get your balls out. You show them.
All right. All right.
It was piss week. It was absolutely piss week. It was the smallest puff of dust you've ever seen. But here's what Dean Cain said.
Unbelievable. And you saw it only on Ripley's.
Thank God.
Oh. What a show!
Would building a 6 million rubber band ball...
6 million rubber bands?
Would that make you Aussie enough to be let into this country and be given a fair go?
Only if you did it while you were flashing a brown eye, I reckon?
If it bounced.
Oh, look, that's what we got to do. What constitutes a fair go?
I believe it didn't bounce. I really... Like, I know that it was... The plane's a long way up, right? And I know that it's hitting the ground quite fast.
Just, Ed, can I ask, are you a hot babe in a bikini or a physics expert? Because if you're not, I don't think you can really comment on something like this.
All right. We'll continue this debate in just a few moments.
Get this.
And we're saying, pull them out of the cupboard. Let's have another look at them.
For the award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito on Triple M.
Hey, let's get this around the nation on Triple M. We're learning about me today. Ed's wondering whether I used to put it about a bit when I was younger. And now Catherine claims the only time she's... Catherine Devaney, co-hosting this morning.
Yes,
the only
I
time
am.
She's met me, I was pissed.
Yes,
apparently.
You were. You were quite drunk. So, Ed, you asked if you put about... And I've read his book, Lolly Scramble, which I must say is an absolute terrific read. And I'm not just saying that because I'm sitting next to the guy. I thought it was a ripper, but didn't buy it. Borrowed it from a friend.
Oh, there you go.
So I didn't... I actually haven't added to your pocket at all.
Oh,
but
there's nothing to add to.
But
I got my first royalty check for that book recently.
How'd you go?
$4,000.
What? Oh, lovely.
I mean,
lovely.
That's a lot of money. I'm not saying no to $4,000.
No.
But it's hardly whenever you get in a cab, you get a lot of, oh, mate, you're getting those Da Vinci Code bucks, yeah? The thing is, I go, $4,000, is that good for a book? And then actual authors are saying to me, oh, mate, I've never got a check as big as $4,000.
I've written three books, and I tell you, one book took me 20 minutes, and the other ones took ages, but no, I've never seen them at $13, $7.05. But I've only met you once before, and you were rather drunk. You'd been drinking with Alan Bro.
He's enormous. He's the size of a grain silo.
And if you haven't seen Tony Martin, think about a toothpick. And it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I was with a mutual friend.
A bit early.
I know Alan, and he knew Tony. And no, it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and they were fairly glassy-eyed and very kind of...
What was the occasion, Tone?
The occasion was I got together with lunch with Alan Bro.
Yeah, and I thought...
And he's enormous. Yeah. So he just drinks and drinks, yeah, and it gets up to his ankles, and there's no effect whatsoever.
Everybody's having these kind of fairly serious meetings at Mario's, you know, talking about, you know, black skivvies and stuff, and there they are, you know, flashing brown eyes and going, "Hello, lady." So that was, yeah, and rather drunk, but kind of not vomiting or slurring. Nice drunk, not B&S drunk.
Was that an exact quote from me, "Hello, lady"?
There was a bit of a leering look kind of going on, but it wasn't actually leering at anyone. It was just kind of can't really get it together.
It was an incredibly benign scene from Once Were Warriors is what it was. But look, enough about that.
No, I don't think so. No.
What else is there to say?
Quit ducking that stuff. That's the problem.
I tell them what you do with a salt and pepper shaker? No, I suppose not. Okay. Let's get on to...
Could write it down, and if it's okay, I'll let you say it.
Okay, sure. No problem.
Tight ship here.
What about music? What have you got for a Zed?
Guitar, and if you guys would all please give me some electronic hand claps, that would really help me out.
Okay. Do you want me to just say hey at some point?
Look, I prefer not, but if you feel the urge, then do it.
Just the hands?
Yeah, electronic hands. Okay. 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
Ooh, do these claps, do we?
How about now?
Oh, is that all right?
Yeah, that was okay. Another one, please?
I'll say hey if you want. Here we go. That's the Romantics. What I like about you, it's Get This on Triple M Around the Nation. Kath Devaney's with us.
I am, and I've got to say, I'm on Triple M, and I haven't seen a Nickelback yet.
We've got rid of them.
They've gone round the dark side of the sun. They'll be back, though.
Okay.
You reckon?
Yeah. Just if you see one, can you point it out? Because I still don't know what a Nickelback is.
It's basically a trampoline champion going.
That's right.
Oh, I thought it was like a dog. No. Cross Kelpie, cross Nickelback.
Turt.
It's the Turt.
Chad Turton, Nate Kruger, former trampoline champion, now singer. We want him to get back on the tramp.
Back on the tramp.
Let's raise some money.
Back on the tramp.
Back on the tramp.
Do you reckon we can get that horse involved in our protest?
That was not made up. Do you want to play that again? Just hook that up again. We've added it.
I'll say after this.
Okay, this is from a massive, full-on protest over the weekend in Gympie.
We have an enemy who uses the media to send out propaganda that would make you think that the war is already lost. We have a battle that we have to win, and we will win. We have an enemy.
We have not added that, I swear to you.
If you had edited it, it was a bit clunky. It's a bit clunky. That's the thing, if it wasn't in it. But when it's that bad, you just kind of go, we wouldn't have just put that. We would have put, like, a nude lady saying something there if we had the choice. But it happened to be a horse, and truth is funnier than fiction.
And we do love to add a nude lady. That's pretty much our standard modus operandi.
Not enough nude ladies on this show.
I've got a couple of things email-wise that relate to that, I think. A lot of people emailing in asking about the Sound of Music clip that we played.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Not understanding why we played it.
Yeah.
Now, Rich, can we give it one more?
Yeah.
Okay, we're not allowed to say why we're playing it.
Yeah, it's just a great bit from a great movie.
Yeah, here we go.
Let's have a go.
Our abbey is not to be used as an escape. What is it you can't face?
I can't face him again.
It's fairly obvious, isn't it?
Well, I thought so, but I'm a television reviewer, and I have my critical guide to television on the back of my little column thing, and I also gave that show a plug, and I used that line to plug it. I said, how do you solve a problem like Maria? You get Mother Superior to say, what is it you can't face? And no one got the line apart from the editor and said, can't say it.
We had a lot of people email in and say they were showing Sound of Music and then the whole station crapped itself. They've gone to black and then they've picked up the movie again. They wound it back and showed that line again. So surely they
popular
knew what
demand.
They were, obviously they knew what they were
one
doing.
One other one. Yeah. Great email here from our friend Tim from Werribee. Tim. You know they have like beds under a lot of programs? You know like people will be talking on the radio.
Yeah.
And they'll just be like... kind of going in the background.
That's right.
He's got an idea for a bed for us that to have background music from early 90s platform video games.
Oh, right.
Right. Now, I think we're going to have to give it a crack. So I want people to email in, give us some suggestions. There's obviously Super Mario. And all those kind of things. So email in, tell us which early 90s video game background music you'd like.
What about Pong?
Pong would be good. Just
Pong would be good.
Beats every now and again. That'd be good. See?
That's already.
Testing its pants off.
I could see listeners jumping into the boat.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So that's some sizzle.
That's what we want. You say you're getting a lot of emails. Are you getting those Viagra emails?
I don't get those anymore.
Because they reckon it's one bloke. Did you see this?
What?
This was on the front of the Sydney Morning Herald last week. If you've been inundated with emails advertising Viagra, a new investigation suggests it could be the work of a single culprit.
The
ACMA is investigating an allegation that a single Australian resident was using his or her home computer to send over 2 billion unsolicited spam email.
Wow.
2 billion!
And what's he getting out of it?
How much Viagra has this guy got?
Yeah.
What's he sitting on? It's got a mess.
I've got a fairly good idea.
Maybe he was this bloke, and this is
What if we all said yes? Then what would he do?
He'd be caught with his pants down.
He certainly would.
Dear.
Is it like you send out 2 million and maybe 2 people?
That's what I reckon.
Is that how it works?
That's how it works.
Here's a slightly disturbing story, again from Queensland. A young woman was so disturbed by an indecent act committed during a bizarre burglary at her Bayside home, she's since been forced to move house. Now, so it's a serious story.
Yeah, but what's...
Serious implications. Okay. But I thought we might just examine the bloke's behaviour.
Please. That's
maybe we'll
that's
learn
what I'm
something
asking for. Right.
About the human mind. Okay, a neighbour who broke into the 29-year-old woman's home while she was out and I'm just going to change the wording here slightly to made love to her lingerie drawer, was unable to offer an explanation for his behaviour as he faced court last week. The carpenter, 45, did not know the woman and did not know how he ended up inside her home.
Of course not.
Then this is the really interesting... I mean, it's all pretty interesting. The court was told the man also used a camera belonging to the woman to take pictures of his penis during the incident.
Yes.
So he's gone, I can't believe I'm doing this. I better get some pictures. I'll have to be able to prove it later.
How I ended up here.
Did he nick anything or did he...
Yeah, this is interesting.
All right.
He was also arrested for stealing her fridge, a vacuum cleaner. What would he have been doing with that? And a compact disc player.
Wait a second, he stole her fridge?
He stole her fridge? How did he do that?
How do you wheel a fridge, a vacuum cleaner and a microwave out?
He doesn't even know how he got into the house, so yet he's stealing a fridge now.
He walked past the iPod, he walked past the laptop, and he said, that fridge I could sell down at the pub? No
but
worries.
First, where's the derps? But this is the interesting part. I shouldn't say his name. Mr. X. No, it's not Mr. X. Not the Bachelor of the Year.
What?
Mr. Z admitted to the masturbation and photo taking, but denied stealing the 3 items from the woman's house. Yeah, going off into that drawer, yeah, taking a photo of it. Yeah, that was me. But I'm not taking her fridge. What do you think I am?
I'm not a pervert. I'm not a weirdo. Sure, I had an Uncle Doug in the smalls drawer.
The defendant stated he had been out drinking.
Surprise, surprise.
Most of his life.
On his way home, he walked into the complainant's house by mistake. After discovering he was alone in the house, he described himself as becoming excited.
So he went, will I go to the 7-Eleven and get one of those chicken rolls in the microwave, or will I go to my neighbour's place and cause a bit of havoc? Get it out!
Best telly movie ever.
By the rights, Ed.
As we often say on this show, it's just so that everyone will have to do that in the reenactment. Right.
Crime Stoppers.
They're going to have to do this into a drawer and I'll make them take photos of it while they're about it.
Maybe there was a second person.
Eh?
Maybe there was a second person, a photographer.
Holding the drawer open.
Yeah.
Helping him with focal length.
Yeah.
When you said a camera, I thought you were going to say that there was a toothbrush involved, because you know that great story.
That's a real...
It's an urban myth, but there was a toothbrush involved.
Yeah.
Which I would like to see enacted on Crime Stoppers.
Best telly movie ever,
I think.
What would it be called? Dude, Where's My Fridge?
Drawers of Hope.
Drawers of Hope. We're going to have to think about that, because there's a good answer to that
question. The day my Hoover broke.
In the meantime, let's get up a mountain.
We're out for the quick, Tone. Jeez, we're going to have to be quick.
Yeah, we are going to have to be quick. What are we looking for? The Fair Go test for migrants. Have you seen this? Have you seen people? They've got to behave more like standard Aussies.
That's right, because it's very un-Australian the way they're getting around with their sushi and their, you know, their Middle Eastern food and what have you. Very un-Australian.
Yeah. Migrants will need to understand the concept of the Aussie Fair Go before being granted citizenship under beefed up immigration laws planned by the Howard government.
Beefed up, thank goodness.
All I've seen all week is people going, you know, they've got to show more respect for women. These people laugh as my dinner ready yet.
Come to our country, learn to speak our language. You're hearing it!
I saw Bob Gatter on the news.
Oh,
is that the same Bob Gatter? He used to have a gun under every bed in his house.
Yeah, that's it.
Of course he did.
They're going to be more like us.
And you just go, yeah, you know that when Bob Gatter and his mates are down the pub, there would be nothing but respect for women.
Absolutely.
It'd be wall-to-wall respect for women.
It would be, come on in, let's talk about Simone de Beauvoir, shall we?
Exactly right.
Yep, absolutely.
So we want people to do as we say, not as we do, essentially.
Yeah, that's it.
Speak up and speak English.
But there's got to be a simple way. I mean, you know, English tests, that takes too long. We need simple tests.
Yeah, simple.
Can they do the Bunnings Warehouse jingle? That's what I'm saying.
That's a good one.
Stand on behind that line, Bunnings Warehouse. Yep, you're in.
You're in.
Absolutely.
That's Aussie enough.
And if they get this bit, pull my finger, and they reach towards, all right.
In you go.
You know, grab your pie, love, and put your thongs on. Congratulations.
There you go.
What other tests do we need? Mr. Marsden, what do you think they should be made to do? These people.
These immigrants should be made to watch Molly's death scene from A Country Practice without tearing up.
Oh, that's good.
Because did you watch the Channel 7 extravaganza?
No.
It came in at like number 12 for great TV moments, beating out, I think, Cyclone Tracy.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. It was a really weird. They had this countdown. And, like, Molly's death was at number 12.
Weird.
She straight in at a,
and she wasn't
with a bullet.
Even, and she wasn't even a real baby. She was just a little doll. Just a little plastic doll.
Was there a higher death toll on Country Practice than Cyclone Tracy? Do we know?
So. Wasn't it sadder when the wombat, like, wandered off or something? Did the wombat die or just wander off into the bush?
Contract negotiation.
Well, if you knew
contract negotiation.
You'd be a fair dinkum Aussie and you can come in.
Absolutely right.
Well,
see you go. I've had a good run.
All right.
Okay, yeah, let's have a test.
What? I reckon I want him to hear. I want to hear him say things like "She'll be right, fair sucker, the Sav." You know, calm down. Come on, love. You know, one meat, two veg, pronto. And if they can do that backwards,
they're on board.
Yeah, and if they've got a university degree, and as long as they don't steal our jobs or marry our women and take those gold bars out that they obviously come with. The one, because apparently, according to my redneck relations, they come here with these gold bars shoved somewhere.
Really?
Yes, and they get a Rolls Royce as soon as they get off the plane, and they and a milk bar.
And before you know it, they're going your derps drawer and taking photos as evidence.
Every day I get home.
All right, that's what we want, a simple Aussie test.
The words to tie a kangaroo down?
I don't know.
Out, Cavalli. What sort of name is Cavalli anyway? That's not very Australian. It's not very Australian.
It's Thai Chinese.
Yeah.
It's fine.
That's suspicious, right?
All right. Yeah, 133353 is the number. Give us a call. This could potentially, if it wasn't our classy listeners, get a touch on the old you know what side. Racist. That'd be nice, shall we?
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll get Bob Catter in here. He'll vet everything.
Bob's good. Look,
he does a great comedy act. He does Bob Catter Goldthwait. Have you seen him doing that?
Hey, there's a prize. Tone, there's a prize. Don't give me the music. Look at this. Dolphin shower curtain. This is what you... pretend you're showering with a school of dolphins.
And is that a prize?
I'm going to get it for people.
Wow, the best Aussie suggestion. The best way people can get a fair go.
Yeah, gets a shower curtain so they can pretend they're showering with dolphins.
What about they have to stand behind the line and walk like David Boone towards the exit?
Idea.
Do the Boone walk.
That's a good idea.
If they can do the Boone walk, they can stay.
All right.
These people.
133353, give us a shout.
That's Rob Thomas. This is how Heartbreaks. No time even for the theme. Kath Devaney's here. We're trying to put together our own fair go test for migrants. What have we got here?
Hey, John.
Hi.
Oh, hi. Hey, John, what's the test, brother?
You have to know who killed Daphne on Neighbours.
And John, the answer is?
Greg Fleet.
Absolutely.
Go for gold, you little beauty.
He wasn't even scheduled to go in that day. He just showed up and had a crack and off he went.
That's a good test. What else we got here?
Thanks, John. Hey, Stuart.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Excellent, sir. What's the test?
Oh, look, I think first of all, you should be able to name three cricket sledges.
Oh, I'm going to have three cricket sledges. Very good.
Yes.
Very good.
And the amount of beer that Booney drank on that infamous flight.
Now, I'm going to ask Tone. Now, how many beers did David Boone drink on the flight from Australia to England on the way to an Ashes tour?
Wasn't it 76 or something?
Is that your final answer? Do you want to phone a friend?
It was 76 in the sketch we did. Yeah. I'm not sure what it was in real life.
Rich?
Rich, what do you reckon?
I was just going to say, I think it's about 56.
Okay. 56 was the number that I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was 55, something like that. What's the answer, Stu?
52.
Oh, 52. No.
Effort.
And there were a few in the bar before the flight.
And there were a few in the bar.
I'm going to leave the country. I'm going to get out.
I know, we're all out of here.
See, and that's the thing. You know, there's not just, these people from way over the other side of the world. There's,
Some of us are from over the ditch.
That's right.
The new Australians.
The forgotten wogs. The Kiwis.
We haven't forgotten you.
Hi, Linda.
Hello.
How are you? What's the test? What are we going to run?
Running songs.
Running songs.
Oh, beautiful.
Simple, but so difficult.
Absolutely. Classy girl, Linda.
Yeah.
Linda, what about, can you run in thongs on sand, Linda?
I'm a new Australian.
Oh, really? How you going?
No, I can run in thongs, yeah. Run on stones.
Hey, thank you very much. Run on stones. Nice work.
Sorry, she's gone slightly Dalek-y.
Sorry, Linda, you're a bit weird. Hello, hello, David.
Hey, how you going?
I'm good, man. What are we? What are they going to have to do? What's the test, bro?
Well, actually, I just moved here in November, so I was recently acclimated into Aussie society. And what I did, or actually what my family did, they sat me down, made me watch The Castle a couple of times, and then spent the entire weekend drinking beer and watching cricket till I understood the game.
Wow. And are you on the first plane back to the States, or...?
Oh, no. I'm here to stay, mate.
That's great. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, good on you, mate. You'll be right.
Yeah, David, could you just repeat after me? Suffer in your jocks.
Suffer in your jocks.
Okay, you can stay. He's all right.
You're in. Thanks, David.
He's contributing.
Hi, Bianca.
Hey, how you going?
We're excellent. What are you going to do for a test?
Okay, I think that you should be able to have a baby at 16 and pronounce it Minnow instead of Minto. That's a true Westie Aussie test.
Oh, dear.
It's a lot to squeeze in at the airport, obviously. There's going to be delays, but if this is what we have to do...
This is what we have to do, yeah.
The baby out of wedlock. You know what would look nice at your place, Bianca?
What?
Have you ever wondered what it'd be like to shower with a dolphin?
Yeah, actually, I have.
Well... Wonder no more! Because it's coming. The weird thing is, as if dolphins have showers. That's the strange thing.
Oh, well, they're always wet, aren't they?
There you go, Bianca. Touché.
You know what they say? People who need dolphin shower curtains are the luckiest people in the world.
Well, I just moved into a new place, so shower curtain me up.
Congratulations, darling. Just say rack off Sharon for us, will you?
Rack off Sharon.
Good on you. Welcome to our country.
Well, I think we've solved that whole race problem.
Yeah, done and dusted.
Okay, Middle Eastern problem. Let's back that one in. We'll do that one next.
Yeah, we'll do that tomorrow, and we'll find out what animal you'd steal from the zoo.
We haven't done that for too long.
It's got to come back. Cap, have you got anything to plug?
Oh, no, nothing to plug at all. Read my column, watch Rove. If you want to get nits out of your kid's hair, just use vinegar. And if you want to have three children, it just feels like being kicked in the face all day, except not as good. Tony, you got anything to plug?
I've got nothing to plug, but I do have our key phrase, and I think we know what it is.
We have an enemy who uses the media to send out propaganda that would make you think that the war is already lost. We have a battle that we have to win, and we will win. We have an enemy who uses the media...
Unquote. And we'll be back tomorrow with Cal Wilson.
Rock and roll!
And it's all thanks to the award-winning, that's the award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito.
Now it's all out and you know.
At the petrol bowser.